Good morning, City Light Benson. How you doing? It's 11 o'clock. I know you slept in, got good breakfast, so you ready to kick in the gear, yeah? I'm telling you, what a beautiful day this. This church is amazing. First service was incredible. I mean, listen, you missed it, but I believe, well, you're here now, so you won't. You get some good stuff. Lord. But just first off, I just want to thank Pastor Tyler and Pastor Alex, man. They have been killing it. They are incredible. Incredible men, incredible fathers, husbands. But the last few months in my life, just been incredible friends. Just a chance to just talk and share and laugh. Some tears on my end. Some tears. But it's just been an incredible journey. But anytime I get a chance to speak in a place, I always pray, God, what do you have for your people? Like, what do you have? Or show me a picture of faces of maybe you just want to share and see. And I've just been praying this week, and I've really been praying for you too. The word that I have for you guys is that trust me. Trust me. I got it. Your faithfulness has been seen, and trust me. You too. I've just been praying for you guys. You guys are incredible. Love you guys. And I love City Life Benson. You guys are absolutely amazing. And I'm excited to share a word. So I got to jump in because we got a few things to do afterwards. So I heard we are in the series of incredible women leaders in the Bible. So we get to talk about the women and what God has done in their lives and through their lives. And through the Bible, know this, God can use anybody he chooses. God can use anybody he chooses. Male, female, black, white, Hispanic, Latino, small, young. God can choose anyone he pleases to advance his kingdom. And we get to talk about the incredible women God used to continue to advance his kingdom and for his glory. And as I was preparing, I was thinking in my own life, who are some women that led to my life? And side note, before I get to that, I just want to let you know how special you are. This is the first time I wore an ugly sweater. I was struggling. I was like, do I? And so my wife jumped out this morning at 7 this morning and said, you are wearing a shirt. I'm about to go get it. So listen, you are special in my life because I'm wearing this. All right, back to the story. All right, back to the story. Where was I at? Got you. A special woman in my life. And who has God put in my life that has helped me be who I am today? And my wife, God placed in my life, but someone in my life is my mother. My mother has played a significant role in my life. And we can agree we all got here through a mother, yes?
Yes.
All right, same page? Good. And mothers teach us such incredible things in our life. And I was thinking of my mom, and she, who happens to be here as well, sitting up here cheering us on. She has pushed me. She has cheered for me. When we thought about planting a church here, she was cheering us on and has helped us support, as well as our team and my wife. It's just been such an incredible journey through that. And I said, what have I learned from my mother, incredible woman of faith, but has gone through some things? And one of the things of her background story is she grew up in a small city in the south of Arkansas in the early 50s. And so you could imagine early 50s in the south, some things she had to face. Yeah. Yep, as a black woman in the south, some things she had to face that our culture is not what it is now, right? And so some things she faced through that, and also some things she faced through marriage and through life, some obstacles, some ups, some downs. But she always continued to maintain the sense of joy. She always continued to maintain an incredible sense of joy. But she also taught me a few things as well. One thing she taught me was don't live like you're disadvantaged. She taught me don't live like you're disadvantaged. You are gifted. You are talented. You're smart enough. You're good looking enough. You're amazing. That's mom for it. That cheer you, no matter what, that cheer you on. But she taught me never have the perspective that you're disadvantaged. You got everything you need in you. Second thing she taught me was respect yourself and others. Show respect for yourself and others. Respect was huge in our house. Honor was huge in our house. I grew up. It was I call it old school, you know, because it was here you go. You never asked the question why. You just did what you were told to do. Go clean up your room. Listen, why never rolled out of my mouth. It didn't come close. If I tried to form why. Listen, I didn't even think. Listen, I want to explain. I didn't think about forming why, right? I just did. So let you know, I was raised different, you know, old school. You don't ask why you did what was told, but respect for yourself and respect for others. Another thing she taught me was never look down on anyone at any time. Never look down on anyone at any time. I remember certain times in school when people and know high school can be kind of mean, you know, and in the sense of never look down on anybody at any time. And I always had this sense of wanting to be to connect with people who maybe people thought weren't good enough, didn't have, you know, all those things that come in that youth adolescent stuff, right? And so she taught me never look down on anyone. And the last thing, not the last thing, but the last thing here was to look to God for all things. To look to God for all things. I remember she would, through some challenging times, she always sang. She would always sing. No matter how she felt, she would always sing. No matter if I liked it or not, she would always sing. And she would go around just singing, and she'll wake up singing. She'll be vacuuming, singing. She'll wake us up vacuuming, singing. But listen, Saturdays we never slept in. It was cleanup time, and she wouldn't wake you up. She would just vacuum around you, right? That's the way to wake you up. It's rough childhood. Oh, but she always would sing, no matter how she felt. She loved God, and her story continues to be written, but she always has taught me to honor God no matter what. And God can use anyone that he pleases to advance his kingdom. He can use anyone. And I'm excited to talk to you about a particular woman that we read named Elizabeth, who God chose to use to advance his kingdom. Chose to use to advance his kingdom. So let me give you a little context. We read it. Zechariah, the first chapter 1, verse 5, it says, at the time of Herod, Luke 1, 5, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also descendant of Aaron. Now, if you read that, you wouldn't think too much about that. But he was a priest. And in that culture, the priest's responsibility, his job, was to commune with God and then transfer that to the people, right? So he would talk to the people on God's behalf and talk to God on people's behalf. So he understood the presence of God. His job was to be with God. Yeah. What an incredible job. You get to wake up every day and just be with God. That was his job, right? And then it says that she was from the tribe of Aaron. And so if we just kind of read past that, you won't think that's too much. But Aaron was part of the priestly divine hood. And so they also had connection to the Lord. And so part of Aaron's tribe was that they connected to God and to people. So you got two people who connect to God. Their job is to connect to God. It's in their blood. It's what they do, right? But if you read on, it says this. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. I say old, but you know never to call a woman old. So they were, the Bible says she was old. So I would say she was of age. She was of age. But she could not conceive a child. And in that culture, you understand, if you understand the culture, Delivering a child, having a child is one of the most important things you can do because it carries the name, it continues to carry the name of the family. And so now she is in the presence of God. They love God. It said that they were righteous with God, and yet she is righteous with God, and yet she has an issue. She loves God, but she has an issue. She cannot conceive a child. And I was thinking, I said, I wonder if Elizabeth was standing right here today, what would she want us to know? If she was standing right here about her life, what would she want to tell us about her life? If she had just 20 minutes with us right here and all that she has gone through, what would be a few points she would want to highlight in her life? And the first point I grabbed out, I thought she might want to say is the culture can't make you bitter. Culture cannot make you bitter. The culture have put on her that she can have a child, and so in the culture, she was less than. In a woman's perspective, she was less than. Not only in that culture, in woman, they were already put down, but not being able to have a child puts you even lower. Imagine her thoughts of being perceived as someone lower or less than. But it says that she was still righteous with God. She didn't let her situation dictate her presence with God. She didn't allow what she was going through to isolate herself and to push her away. She said, I'm still going to follow after God, still knowing what I'm wrestling with. And I challenge you this morning, well, you may be wrestling with something, you may have a situation, but this is what I have learned, that we have control of how we respond to things in life. We have control of how we respond to things in life. How many know life can hit you? Life can come up and down, twists and turns. Things that you have seen and things you did not see can come. And she didn't know that she wasn't going to be able to not have a child. She didn't see that in her life. She didn't see that. But she did not allow what culture could have put on her to allow her to have an attitude of bitterness. You can't allow culture to put that on you. Because guess what? Culture will put some stuff on you, won't it? You don't have enough friends following you. You're not on social media enough. You're not good enough. You got to put this persona in. Culture will put things on you that should not even be put on your life. And she did not allow the culture to make her bitter. She was right standing with God. They loved God. She understood the word. Yet she still had an issue. And I wonder if she stood right here, she would say, don't let the culture make you bitter. Don't get the attitude that nothing can happen, nothing good can come from you. No, God still can use you no matter what, right? So she was standing here. The first thing I think she might say is the culture can make you bitter. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says this. It says, there is a time and season for everything that's under the heavens, right? There's a season for everything. There's a season to shout and to dance and to mourn and to cry. There's a season for everything. You can't allow the seasons to dictate your attitude because you're going to have highs, lows, ups, downs, twists, turns, curves. But we can't allow the seasons of life to dictate our attitude. I like this quote right here. It said, she never got bitter at a delayed blessing. She never got bitter out of a delayed blessing. A blessing was coming that she did not know could happen. But she didn't allow the bitterness happen to her life because of a delayed blessing. Because you and I still don't know what God wants to do in our lives. But I believe her posture helped her in this. That she didn't stop loving God. She didn't separate herself. That she still followed after him. The second thing I think she might want to tell us if she was standing right here is this. Is that God can still change the narrative of our lives. God can still change the narrative of our lives. Luke 1:23, as you continue down the story, it says, when his time of service was completed, Zechariah, when he got done doing his duties, he returned home. After his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and the 5 months remained in seclusion, the Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. That God decided that I can still change the narrative of your life. That no matter how old or how young, no matter what situation or what place you may be in, that God still can change the narrative of your life. And I love that all everyone in here has a story. And we all have a past. But I know this, and I don't know about you, God changed a lot of things in my past that I should have been messed up in, right? He changed the narrative of Jameson. He said, I know you were broken over here. I know you had issues over here at 18 and 19. But when Christ came into my life, he changed the narrative of my life. And he still can change the narrative of your life. And sometimes you feel like broken dreams are done. You feel like maybe I can't achieve these things in life anymore. Maybe I'm too old to live or do anything purposeful. Maybe I'm too old to open up a business. Maybe I'm too old to do anything of significance anymore. Maybe my time has passed. Maybe I'm done. I love this quote. Until you're dead, you are not done. Until you are dead, you are not done. The fact that you are sitting here this morning, God still wants to use you. And God can change the narrative of your life. I know this. I know oftentimes people can put labels on us, can't they? They can put a past on us. They can say things that are hurtful. They can say things that cannot conclude to anything. But our past does not dictate our future. Our past doesn't dictate our future. But I know people can label things on us. They can say, I wonder if the people who knew that she couldn't have children start saying, hey, there goes Liz, the woman who can't have children. I wonder how that made her feel. There goes, I hope there's no Austins in here. There goes Austin. I remember Austin. I remember what you used to do, man. You used to be the biggest partier in the world, man. There goes, hope there's no Susies. There goes Susie. No, any Susies? Great. No Susies. There goes Susie. Don't you know how she used to live? Don't you know what she used to do? And people will put labels on you that is not you any longer. Wonder why? Because God can change the narrative of our lives. Amen. God changes the narratives of our lives. Whoo! Elizabeth was standing right here. She'll say, God changed the narrative of my life. I thought I was old. There was no way that I could give birth to a kid at this age. But yet God still chose me at my age to give birth to a son who is going to continue to push the kingdom of God. God can change the narrative of our lives. The third thing I think, if she was standing here talking to us this morning, I think she might say this. She might say, don't let your voice be buried. Don't let your voice get buried. Why would I say this? In verse 57, it says this, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. They came knocking. Yo, Liz, we're here to circumcise your kid. Bring out his father, Zechariah. But his mother, it says this, his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. All right? So I don't know in your Bibles, but mine says, no, exclamation point. So she said it with some oomph. Yeah. You know what I mean? She said it a little. She was like, nah. Mm-mm. Listen, I've learned this about mothers. Don't mess with a mother's kid. Listen, don't listen. Listen, hey, one thing you don't do is mess with a mother's kid. Like I've seen women who I thought was, oh, you're just so nice. Oh, my goodness, you're so full of joy. Oh, yeah, let somebody mess with their kid. A whole different side will come out on the mother. And I think a whole different side came out. She was already protective of this kid. She wasn't even supposed to be having this child. And now people want to come tell her what she's supposed to do. Now, why would they tell her your son should be called Zechariah? Well, we talked about that, right? They're supposed to carry on the name. Zechariah was supposed to carry on the name. So they said, bring Zechariah in, bring him out so we can circumcise him. And she says, no, his name's supposed to be John. She stood up at that point. Her voice was heard at that point. She understood her conviction. She knew what God had told her about her son. And she didn't allow what people were going to put on her to tell her what she was supposed to do. She understood. She said, I know God's voice. I've been with God. It's what I do. And she says, no, I'm not going to. His name's to be John. Now, my other question would be this. She shouts out no. The people are out the door. She shouts out no. But where's her husband? Where's Zechariah? Well, it says, if you go back in a few verses, that he couldn't speak. And so they're talking to Zechariah, and they tell Zechariah, yo, Zechariah, she says, the son's supposed to be named John. You tell us what your son's supposed to be named. And Zechariah, who cannot speak, I'm going to talk to you about that, he can't speak, so he gets a pad out and writes, John is his name. Now, I don't know about you, but I've witnessed wives, okay? And I think, I read the Bible different. Like, I pull stories out. I wonder, like, what would be happening right there, right? And I wonder if she's sitting there like this. The people are saying, your son needs to be named John. I mean, Zechariah. And she says, no, John. And so the people say to Zechariah, you tell us what the name's supposed to be. And I wonder if she was like, I wish you would say something else, right? Like I wonder what her look was looking at that moment, right? I wonder what her look was looking like. Like, I wish you would say something different. And as a husband, I've seen that look before. And I know what that look is. And husbands, you know, you better not side with nobody else but your wife. All the wives, yes? He's looking. And he writes down, John. Because wifey is giving him that look. Now, the other question would be this. Why could he not speak? How was it that he could not speak at this time? Why did he have to write? Well, if you go back to the verse of the beginning of the chapter, verse 18, as was read before, it says, Zechariah, the angel came to Zechariah and told him, you're going to have a child named John through your wife, right? Don't fear what I'm sharing with you. Now, we talked about Zechariah, who is a priest, should understand the presence of God, right? So his job is to hear the voice of God for the people and hear the people for the voice of God. And so he should understand when God speaks to him, he should obey, right? He should know. But guess what? In verse 18, it says, Zechariah asked the angel, well, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. Now, again, I insert my own thing. I wonder if the angel should have been like, duh, I know this. Right? The angel said to him, he said, Doug. No, he didn't. He said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have now been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens. Watch this. Because you did not believe my words. The husband who, his job is to know God, to be with God. And he said, you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time. So you will be silent until the appointed time. And so now, because of his unbelief, the wife had to speak up. She said, I'm not going to bury my voice because I know what God has told me. And you're not going to put that label on me. And so when she looked over at Zechariah, he was like, all right, I know, John. And then, boom, he was able to speak. The crazy thing is that the man who was supposed to hear from God had doubt. But this woman over here knew, I know God. And so I'm not going to bury my voice. Because I know what God has told me, and he wants to use me to advance his kingdom. God wants to use you and I to advance his kingdom, no matter what. That is just not just for the pastors, right? It's not just for the priests. He wants to use your voice. He wants to use you and I to continue to advance his kingdom. To advance his kingdom. She will tell you, don't bury your voice. Speak up on your convictions. Speak up from what I told you. Don't allow what society and culture would dictate to you to be, to say, to act, to live. I believe she got blessed. I believe she got blessed because she continued to walk with God. The opening passage says this. They were right standing with God. Although she couldn't bear, they were right standing, which paints a clear picture that she didn't allow the situation to dictate her attitude of how she approached God. And oftentimes we can allow our attitude when we come in to dictate how we worship God. We can allow life situations to dictate how we come in and can set our mood and can set our attitude. But I believe we have control over our attitude. Not saying that everything is going right and not being fake about it. Not saying that, but saying, I know I'm going through, but I choose to know I'm going to who I serve and who I worship. And she understood that. Years went on. Years went on. Years went on. The dream of having a child started to diminish, to diminish, and to diminish. And then I wonder if she got to a place where she may have got, maybe just given up on the dream of having a child. I wonder if the thoughts to say, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. But yet God said, no, I'm still going to give you the promise of what I said. I'm going to give you a kid at the age. I love how God works, right? I love how he works because we try to put him in this box. We try to say, I got him figured out. And we have no clue. We try to say, no, God, I got you. You know, I do this and this, and I got all these things. And God blows our box. He blew the box. She was old. She was supposed to have kids. He blew the box because she believed. She believed. She didn't stop believing in the God that she served. And I wonder this morning, you might be in a place saying, I had dreams. I had things I thought I was going to be doing. I had things I thought I was going to be accomplishing. I thought I was going to be in a particular place. I thought I was going to be making this money by now. I thought I'd be at this point. I thought I'd be married by now. I thought I'd be having children by now. I thought I'd be, and I wonder what perspective has come in. And to tell you this morning that God still wants to use you. He is still writing the narrative of your life. He's still writing it out. And it's not, and I learned this because we all have stories. And I said this in the first one, that your story is for God to get the glory. Your story is for God to get the glory. She will tell you right here, yeah, I went through that. And yeah, I won the child. But now, God's story is being told through me. Now, it's not about me, but it's about what God wants to do. And I come to you this morning. Now, God wants to use your story, not for you, but for that he can get the glory. Her story is for his glory. You and our story, it's not for us, it's for his glory. I believe God can use those things. So if she was standing here, don't let culture dictate your attitude. Don't let culture define you. What was my second one? Y'all want to take the notes? What was that? God can change our narrative. And then don't let your voice be buried. Not the only three things, just three things I thought she might want to share with us this morning. And in this, I love Pastor Tyler. He created a space to even hear from a woman's perspective on the story. And if you don't know, if you look, I'm not a woman. So my perspective still limited, but I believe God still has voices that he wants to share and to speak and communicate it. So he created a space. I'm going to invite Jen Young up here to share from her perspective. from this story. It was incredible this morning. I'm going to allow her to do that. And then when she's finished, Pastor Tyler's going to come up and close us out.
Thank you, Pastor Jameson. I appreciate every point that was given, and I particularly that part about the voice being buried. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to allow God to use the voice that he's given me this morning and share some thoughts and questions that came up when I took time to really think about Elizabeth and her story. And the thing that really impacted me when I was really looking at it was the part about the barrenness. And when you're looking at Elizabeth from the outside, you see that she seemed to do, like, everything right. Like, she was faithful. She had a great lineage, stellar reputation, you know. She was devoted to God. She wasn't perfect, but she practiced the proper things, processes that you go through, you know. And they were considered blameless. It says that right there in the scripture. She was blameless. Again, not perfect, but she followed the customs. But there was this one thing that seemed to kind of cast a shadow over this, this one thing that seemed kind of out of reach. And it was what Pastor Jay was talking about, the not having that child and what that meant. And in Luke 1:25, something was revealed to me. It says, "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace. Taken away my disgrace among the people." And what I saw was in the midst of her thanksgiving, she revealed something, some relief, that there was things that were said or thought about her because she didn't produce a child. I see this as evidence that in a way it did affect her and impact her, but I believe that she still trusted the Lord fully, that she still decided to be faithful to him, that it didn't stop her. It didn't make her, like as Pastor Jameson said, bitter, but instead she lived her life to the fullest. And I understand that in that time, like it said, a displeasure, a sense of displeasure or punishment even from God not to have something like that. And I can imagine and I can understand that pressure of just certain things not happening maybe at the time that you thought was going to happen or things you felt maybe passed you by. And so I was thinking about like how she coped with that, how she dealt with that. And I believe, like I said, she was very faithful. And so one question that came up was, are there times in which something didn't go right and you thought God was angry with you or displeased with you just because it didn't go right or maybe the way you thought it would? And I was talking to my mom last night about this, and she's extremely animated. And she just got all up on it. She was like, "Jennifer, that's just unreasonable." She was like, "This is the same God who sent his only son to die for you. Why would he basically just want you to be miserable? Why would he sit up punishing you when he sent his son as mercy, as grace for you?" You know, like, he's just like, "Nah, that's just unreasonable." So let's just go ahead and say, that's done, all right? Let's let that thought go. He's not sitting up just thinking negative things about you, all right? So he released his mercy in the earth. The second question that came up was, how has the lens of social or cultural expectations influenced or colored how I perceive my life? And so I'll tell on myself, I'm 35, and I'll be 36 in February. Woo-woo, February birthdays. Y'all know what's up. And I honestly can say that I am very, very happy. I'm not exaggerating when I say I'm happy with what my life looks like right now. I am single, and different questions, of course, have passed up, come up over time, things that people have said, unintentionally meant, or whatever, but it had me thinking, oh, maybe I was a little less than, or maybe I was missing something, or is God displeased with me that this isn't happening in the timeline I was thinking? And I have come to the conclusion that no, he's not upset with me. He is not at all upset with me. Elizabeth showed that you can do everything right, but maybe not see what it is that you have been waiting for. Maybe not yet, okay? And I felt like I was doing things, what I was supposed to do, following the Lord. But he had to deal with some things that I had not understood about myself and him. I was allowing what I thought, what was popular in social culture, to dictate what I thought he thought of me. And I believe that Elizabeth did not allow that to happen to her. And I see that as an encouragement. And that had me thinking about, you know, expiration dates on food. If you know me, I don't play about expiration dates. My roommate, now my sister-in-law, Ella, y'all, she would just get on me. She's like, Jennifer, it's only 3 days past. It's fine. I'm like, I am not eating that. You might as well throw it away. I'm not drinking that milk. I'm not doing it because I ain't getting sick. I ain't messing myself up. It says the date right here for a reason. Uh-uh. I'm not doing it. it challenged me to think about, what have I put an expiration date on that God didn't put an expiration date on? What have I made up this timeline in my head about things, and I assume that they passed me by? I assume that I didn't move on it then, so it's over. In January, I will be celebrating 1 full year of full-time entrepreneurship. Thank you. And I am somehow clothed, fed, and I have a roof over my head. And there's times when I was kind of like, things would kind of go wrong or off or a little bit, in my opinion. And he had to help me understand that just because maybe, you know, it's a little bit of a struggle this month, or this didn't quite pan out the way you thought, doesn't mean you're completely wrong, you're completely off, I'm completely displeased with you, you're off, you're just terrible, and everyone's going to look at you like you're psychotic. But that's not what happened. In verse 37 in Luke, it says, like, for nothing is impossible with God. And so it challenged me. What do I believe? Can I put my trust in him? Not a toe, not just a little lean, but my full weight on him. And my pursuit of this business and things came out of his faithfulness. He came through on something amazing for my family last year, and I asked him, where have I not been as faithful with you? And he brought these visions and dreams of this business, this huge entrepreneurship vision. And I was like, okay, I guess that's what I'm going to do. He said to me, why don't you, I would... try me and see that I don't do it. Just try me and see that I don't do it. And I can say that I tried him and I see that he is doing it. And I am so happy. And so just thinking about Elizabeth being in her advanced years in age, it had me, this women's just coming up to me just in my mind. And I came across the story of Dorothy Steele. She started acting at the age of 88. Have anyone seen Black Panther? Wakanda Forever? Yep. Okay, so it is like the 14th highest grossing movie like of all time. Like, it is amazing. She started acting at age 88. 4 years later, she is now known for this movie. Her face is known around the world. Now, she almost didn't even audition because she didn't think she could like do the accent and everything. And her grandson got on her because I believe she's a woman of faith. And he said, Grandma, why aren't you stepping out on faith? And she said, okay. So she went ahead and she auditioned. And now look at her. And a quote from her was, she said, hopefully somebody who at 55 or 60 has decided, this is all I can do, they will realize they have 35 more years to get things together. Steele said, start now. It's never too late. Keep your mind open and keep faith in yourself that you can do this thing. All you have to do is step out there. And I just encourage you, you don't have to be someone who is 60 or 80 years old. You don't have to even be a woman to understand that God has not put an expiration date on any dreams or visions that he has given you. They came from him. Of course, he's going to bless you and fulfill those visions and dreams in any way, shape, or form. And think back, okay? I want to give you a challenge. And it's blank, fill the space. Blank hasn't happened, and yet, what do I believe? Blank hasn't happened, and yet, what do I believe? So I challenge you to fill that blank and think in your heart what expiration dates you've put on things that haven't happened yet, and that there's limitations that only really you can put on yourself, because he's not limiting you. He's not limiting you at all. And so don't allow the enemy to insert any doubt. okay, about who you are and who he is and what he can do in your life. And then there's two scriptures I want to give you just to affirm you, and then I want to pray over you, okay? The first is Romans 10 and 11. It says, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Another word for that is put to shame or disappointed. Romans 11, 29, and this is the Amplified Version, says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, for he does not withdraw what he has given, nor does he change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. There are no expiration dates on his promises.